very much, Jen. Let me add my welcome to Miles from earlier. It really is wonderful to celebrate together the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's always a real gift, isn't it, to be able to sing these great hymns that proclaim the hope that we have. And it was also such a joy to have that story read for us. A big thank you again to Elizabeth for reading that to us. That story of Lazarus that helps to show us why Easter is such good news. And that is what we're going to continue thinking about now as we look at these verses from Luke's Gospel. And as we do that, let me start with a question. And really, it's a question for everyone here, both young and old. A question for you is this. When was the last time you couldn't find something? Question for both kids and grown-ups. When was the last time you couldn't find something? It happens all the time, doesn't it? Just think of some of these common examples here. When was the last time you couldn't find the story that you wanted to read? There's a book you want to read, or a book you want to be read to, but you just can't find it. Or another one, maybe a toy. When was the last time you couldn't find that toy that you wanted to play with? Or you can think of some more practical examples. Here's one. When was the last time you couldn't find your octopus card and you were already late running out the door? Now, one for parents here. Last time you couldn't find your phone, probably sometime this morning, a number of us. Another common one, when was the last time you couldn't find your glasses? You see, this happens all the time, doesn't it? And for certain things, well, there's usually a particular place where you expect to find them. There's somewhere that they belong, a place you feel like you should be able to find them. Let me show you just by a simple quiz here. Again, you can shout out the answers. For example, where would you expect to find this? Here we have a nice selection of surprisingly healthy food. Where would you find this? Shout it out. Where? Fridge? Bingo. There we go. That's where you can expect to find healthy food. Okay? Now, what about this next one? Books, a stack of books. Where would you expect to find this? Bookshelf? Anywhere else? Coffee table? Bookshelf? Library? Okay, a whole number of places, right? Good, a library. That's where you can find them. All right, let's get a bit more specific. What about this? Where would you find a zoo? Anything more specific? Ocean Park. That's right. Obviously, China as well, but for here, it's in Hong Kong, Ocean Park. All right, let's get very niche here. Let's test you, push you a bit. Where can you find this? All right, clearly we've all been there before. You go to IKEA, you can expect to find this. All right, okay, just one last one. The world's hardest thing to find, the TV remote. Under the couch? That's right, under the couch. That is exactly what I prepared, right? Somewhere behind the couch, under the couch, down the back of the couch. See, here's the thing. Whenever you go to the fridge or the library or the back of the couch, you normally expect to find the thing you're looking for, okay? That's where they belong. Well, here in this passage, it's all about something they could not find. It's all about someone they couldn't find. Let's join the action in verse 1. Verse 1, we read, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. See, we're following the journey of this group of women early one morning. It's late enough that you would be able to see, but it's still early enough that the sky would be a little bit dark, a bit like when you're off to school in the morning, maybe. And so here they are, early in the morning, and they're going to the tomb. They're there to look for Jesus' body. Question is then, what do they find when they get there? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 2. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't find what they were looking for. Instead, they found an empty tomb. It left them wondering what had happened. It left them confused and at a loss. Elsewhere, we read, they left them really sad. And of course, most of the time when you don't find what you're looking for, it is usually bad news. But the beautiful thing here is that this time, it's actually good news. In fact, the empty tomb is great news. It is the best news. It is the news we celebrate at Easter. What these verses will show us is that Easter is so much more than just a nice occasion to get together. It is so much more than just a nice theme for children's activities. It is so much more than school holidays. Because what we celebrate at Easter is nothing short of world-changing. And it's all because the empty tomb is good news. That's what we see when we keep reading. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Remember the scene. They were standing there, confused and at a loss. They were wondering about what had happened. And then these two angels show up by their side. Now, whenever you see angels show up, you want to pay attention. Throughout the Bible, when they appear at these significant moments. And they show us that something significant is going on. And so it's a little bit like when you go to a show or a production at school. There'll be this big spotlight, right? There's this big spotlight that draws your gaze to a particular part of the stage. And it's a way of saying, pay attention to what's going on. Look at what's going on here. Well, in a similar way, we have these two angels standing there, shining bright, and they shine a light on what is going on. They draw our attention to the empty tomb. They tell us why it's good news. Do you remember what they said? The angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Do you see what they're saying? They're saying, you're looking in the wrong place. If you are looking for Jesus, you are never going to find him here. Not because he's in a different tomb, but because he does not belong in a tomb. Jesus Christ does not belong in the place of death, because Jesus Christ is alive. In other words, they had been thinking about it all wrong. Just remember why it was they were going to the tomb early that morning. What did they bring with them? They brought with them all the spices they had prepared. They were there to bury Jesus' body properly. They went there thinking of him as dead. Now, of course, he did die. Just days before, they had seen him crucified. Like we spoke about earlier, Jesus Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. That's what happened. But the angels show them, friends, the angels show us that that is not the whole story. There's more to the story. He really did die, but they say, don't think of him as still being dead. Because he is in fact risen from the dead. And what the angels say here, it completely changes our categories. You see, when Jesus died, they must have thought that was it. I mean, surely that was the end. Surely there was no more. But Jesus' resurrection means that death is no longer the end. It's as if their eyes were opened to this whole new reality. Think of it like this. I remember a documentary about some people on a big adventure through the mountains. Maybe you've been on an adventure like this, a big adventure through the mountains. And so they found themselves in the middle of the countryside, on these rocky paths, climbing up this big climb. But before they got to the other side, it was already nighttime. And so, by this point, it was completely dark. And so they decided to stop. They decided to stop there and set up camp a little bit like this. And you can imagine, all they could see was the little bit around them. That's all they could make out. It's as if there was no more. That was it. But then the next morning, the sun came up. And as the sun rose, it revealed this glorious valley that was right next to them. They woke up to this beautiful vista that was right next to them. It was as if their eyes had been opened to see this whole new world. Well, in a similar way, when Jesus died, it must have seemed like that was it. Surely there's no more. But his resurrection has opened up a whole new world. When he rose from the dead, he punched the hole right through to the other side. Death is no longer this dead end. Instead, it's been transformed into this gateway into eternity. It was the beginning of a whole new era, a whole new creation, a world that is characterized by life, life that even death cannot take away. That is why the empty tomb is good news. And it is good news for us today. Verse 6. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. In other words, this was always part of the plan. This is precisely what Jesus said would happen. It was precisely how he explained his mission again and again. Jesus didn't come just to leave us a good example, so that when he died, it was his example that lived on and inspired people. Jesus didn't come just to leave us with good teaching, so that when he died, his teachings would live on and instruct people. No, Jesus came for so much more. He came to deal with our deepest problem of sin by dying in our place. And then he rose again, defeating death, so that all who put their faith and trust in him can know that death is no longer a dead end, so that we can have everlasting life, so that we can have a life that even death cannot take away. This is the good news of the empty tomb. And this is good news for us. It was put so wonderfully, wasn't it, in that story we read earlier, goodbye to goodbyes. All of us are familiar with goodbyes. All of us have to wrestle with goodbyes that can feel like a forever goodbye. But Jesus' resurrection has transformed goodbyes for all who turn to him. Do you remember how the story went at the end? We all have to say goodbye sometimes. Some of them are short goodbyes. Some of them are long. Sometimes a friend of Jesus we love gets sick and we're sad. Sometimes because they die, we have to say goodbye. It feels like a forever goodbye. Jesus knows it is sad to say goodbye. So Jesus came to end goodbyes. And one day, Jesus and all his friends will say goodbye to goodbyes forever. The empty tomb is good news. The empty tomb is good news, and it is good news for us today. In fact, just the other day, earlier this week, it would have been the birthday of one of my close friends, a dear friend, someone I knew for many years. But very sadly, he passed away almost 2 years ago. He was a wonderful man. But he died young. We were the same age. And it was incredibly sad for us to say goodbye. It was really sad for him to say goodbye, but wonderfully, he had put his faith and trust in Jesus. And so he knew in the bottom of his heart, we knew in the bottom of our heart, that goodbye was not forever. Because we know that the day is coming when Jesus and all his friends will say goodbye to goodbyes. Why the empty tomb is good news. This is the great resurrection hope that we celebrate at Easter. It is a hope that is found in Jesus Christ. It is a hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. In the words of our final song that we'll sing in just a moment, it means saying, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Now, if we're honest, this actually does come to us as a bit of a challenge, a real challenge, actually. If we're honest, we like to think that we can manage it. Our medicines and our technology, maybe our religious practices and traditions, our scheduling and our management, our planning, all these different ways in which we think we can handle it. We place our hope in these different things. But friends, if we are willing to turn away from trusting ourselves, if we are willing to put all our trust in Him for this Easter hope, it becomes our hope. So let me ask you this morning, where is your hope found? Perhaps you're here this morning and you've not yet put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If that is you, I have to ask you, where is your hope found? What is your light and your strength and your song when you say goodbye? It may be that all of this sounds good, but it just seems hard to believe. A bit like the disciples at the end of the passage. We won't look at it right now, but when they hear this news, it just doesn't make sense to them. Well, if that is you, let me invite you to keep coming along. Please keep exploring with us. Because one of the remarkable things is that these disciples, they started out skeptical. They weren't expecting any of this. They certainly didn't go looking for this. And yet in the end, their lives were turned upside down by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the news of the risen Lord Jesus, this news that they then declared and proclaimed fearlessly, well, that has turned the world upside down. Here we are, thousands of years later, and across the world today, you do not find people simply remembering a good man who died young. You see people worshiping the risen Lord Jesus who reigns now and forever. And so as we close, let me urge you to keep wrestling with this. We have some books free for you to take away. This little one here, you'll see a picture of it on the back of your bulletin. A short book that unpacks many of the things that we've been thinking about. We've also got these copies of Luke's Gospel that you can read through. This morning we're just joining right at the end of Luke's Gospel. Why not read from the beginning and see for yourself what Jesus is like? Both of these available at the back, free to take away. Why not use this Easter to have a read? You see, here at Ambassador, we believe that the good news of Jesus is good news to be shared. So we want to do all that we can to help you consider what Jesus offers to all who turn to Him. And then if you have turned to Him, if you have put your faith and trust in Him, if this hope is your hope, let me encourage you to rejoice today. I know that across our church family, we will be facing all sorts of different things. Each of us will be wrestling and weighed down by all kinds of challenges. And so this Easter, let me encourage you, draw confidence, because the empty tomb is good news. Let me encourage you to take heart, because death is no longer a dead end. Let me encourage you to give yourself afresh to following Jesus, because Jesus is alive and reigns. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you again for this great hope that we have in Jesus. We know that this is a hope beyond what we deserve. There's a hope beyond what we can dream up for ourselves. And yet, by your grace, this is the hope that we can have if we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Father, we pray for those here who have not yet turned to Him. We pray that you would help them and open up a way for them to wrestle with these things. And for all those who have, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would enable us to rejoice afresh today, that we would worship Jesus as He deserves, because He is our victorious, resurrected King. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.